Amen. This evening we are in Romans chapter number 14, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1, where the Bible reads, "Hear him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputation." So now in Romans chapter number 14, we begin to get into like a separate subject here. Obviously, we just looked into the different subjects as far as authority is concerned in Romans 13. In Romans 12, we saw the transformation or the renewing of our minds. We saw Paul dealing with this matter of the Jews in chapters 9 through 11. But now we can start getting into almost the personal relationship between you and your brethren. And he starts off the chapter here talking about those who are weak in the faith. You know, we ought to receive them. And it goes without saying that within a church setting in Christianity, there's always those who are strong and there are those who are weak. Within a church setting, in the local church, every local church, there's always those who are strong, but there are those who are weak. And the Bible tells us that those who are weak in their faith, maybe they don't know the Bible is good, or maybe they haven't been in church very long, we ought to receive them. But the Bible says not to doubtful disputations, okay? And obviously there's people out there who are weak, but yet they're not necessarily sincere. Okay, these people come into churches or they comment on YouTube or they go through social media trying to act like they're sincere about a certain subject, but they're not sincere. Right. They want to start trouble. They want to debate. They haven't even read through the Bible once, and they think they can, you know, just argue their biblical, so-called biblical points. Well, the Bible tells us that we ought to receive those who are weak in the faith, but not to doubtful disputations. And in fact, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:22 or 23, it says, "But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes." And we already went through this in different sermons, but it's important that we have in our minds that we are to receive people, but not so we can strive with them, not so we can debate with them, not so we can prove our own point, okay? And let me say this, in our church here, we're not going to take a consensus to figure out what's right and what's wrong. Okay, or what do we believe or what do we don't believe? This isn't run as a democracy. No church should ever be run as a democracy. Amen. Okay? When we receive people who are weak in the faith, we want to teach them. They'll be taught through the pulpit. They'll be taught through individuals that teach the word of God and doctrine. But you know what? If they come in here causing strife or trying to spread heresy, they're getting the boot. Amen. Why? Because we're not going to receive that to doubtful disputations. Right. Now, verse number 2 says, "For one believeth that he may eat all things. Another who is weak eateth herbs." Now, let me just start off by saying that the Bible teaches us right here, and I'm not trying to be facetious, I'm not trying to be funny about this, but it says it right there. It says that if you eat herbs, you're weak. Yep. Yeah. That's what God says, okay? If you eat only herbs, then you're weak, according to the Bible. Now, that's true in a physical sense, okay? And yes, we're going to talk about vegetarians and veganism today just a little bit, because obviously the chapter, you know, talks about it. But the Bible tells us right there that if that's what you do, and it's referring to the person who only eats herbs, because it's making a contrast between those who don't eat just herbs, they eat meats as well. The Bible says that they're weak. They're not only weak physically, and that can be proven scientifically, but they're also weak in the faith. Why is that? Because the Bible tells us over and over and over again that we don't have to abstain from meats. You say, well, how does that prove that they're weak? Well, it shows that they haven't read the Bible. Yep. You know, if there's a doctrine in the Bible that's constantly being hammered or always talked about, and you know, it's not something you can easily breeze over, and someone says that it's not in the Bible, that person is weak according to the Word of God. Amen. Why? Because they're not in the Bible enough to see that the Bible obviously condones eating meat. Okay, since Genesis all the way to Revelations, there's meat being eaten. Okay, Genesis chapter 3, God kills an animal to clothe Adam and Eve. Genesis chapter 19, Jesus Christ eats meat. Throughout the Levitical law, God commands the sacrifices to be accomplished, to be done, to be offered, and to be eaten. Yes. That's how he pays the men, the Levites. Amen. Is by eating the meat, the beef. Okay, Jesus Christ, even when he resurrected in his glorified state, ate fish. Okay, he ate meat, he ate food. This is a very essential aspect of the Christian life, right? It's to eat beef. And according to the Bible, if you eat beef, then you know you're strong. Amen. Right? But it says here, "For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs." Now, let me say this. If someone's a vegan, which I don't think we don't have vegans. Is anybody a vegan here? Also, you're a vegan? Yeah. Yeah. And the pre-tribulation doctrine is correct. That's how much you are. Just kidding. He could take a joke, right? I don't even know what I was. You made me lose my place here. So I don't think anybody's a vegan here. I don't think anybody's a vegetarian. But here, let me say this, is that they're not evil people who are vegans or vegetarians. Okay? They're not evil people. I believe some of them are misled. Okay? But someone who's a vegan, someone who's a vegetarian is not evil. They're not wicked in any sense of the form. Now, there are vegans who are wicked and evil.
Yeah.
Why is that? Because there's two sects of them, obviously. There's one who just wants to do it for their health sake. You know, they lived a really terrible life as far as their diet was concerned, and they're trying to improve that by eating vegetables and only staying away from dairy products, etc. But then there's the other portion, which would be considered the militant vegans. Which teach that you have to abstain from meat and you have to eat herbs and only herbs. At that point, it becomes wicked.
Right.
Why is that? Because simply for the fact that now they're teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. There's nothing wrong with eating vegetables. I think you should eat vegetables, okay? But when you start teaching that you should only eat vegetables and that you're sinning when you eat meat, then it becomes evil. Okay, then it becomes undoctrinal. Then it becomes heretical. You say, do people really say that? I knew a guy. Okay, while I was in Bible college, I knew a guy who came to our Bible college, and he was a vegan. Okay, and he came and you know what? I sinned in the sense of, you know, I offended him. Okay, I did wrong. Okay, in a sense, because I didn't care. You know, I was just like, I told, and now I think I was like the dorm supervisor at that time. So, you know, I said, okay, well, great. I'm glad, you know, if you're vegan, you're vegan. I'm not, I told him. And in fact, I don't think anybody in the dorms is a vegan. And we all eat meat here. So if you're going to live here, you're going to have to kind of put up with that. You know what I mean? And here's the thing. If that's what you want to do, then that's fine. But he was trying to just push his doctrine down our throats every single day. You know, eat this. You need to eat this. I'm like, hey, I love fruit, but I'm gonna go eat a burger right now. You know, I'm not trying to like rub that in your face, but that's what we do. We eat meat. And I remember, and the reason this guy believed this is because he stayed with the family that believed that, and they brainwashed them. They said that they related eating meat to pharmakeia and sorcery, just weird stuff. Weird. And they, you know, they're trying to come up with, and I understand there's GMOs and all these things we got to worry about, but some people take it way too far.
Yeah, yeah.
So this guy, you know, he's like vegetarian or vegan and, you know, only eat fruits and persimmons. You guys know what persimmons are? That fruit that gives you cotton mouth after you're done eating it. He would eat that all the time. And I was kind of cool. I was cool with it in the sense of, yeah, I eat fruit, but I'm not going to stop. And he's like, yeah, you need to stop eating that stuff. That stuff is so bad for you. And, you know, the Bible says that, they only ate vegetables and fruits in the Garden of Eden. And he would just say all these things. And I was just like, this guy's weak in the faith. And I would tell him, I said, you know, the Bible actually says that for you to tell me to abstain from meats is the doctrine of devils.
Yep.
I told him that. Yeah, yep. And he didn't believe me. And I was like, let me show you. And even after I showed him, he's like, no. I mean, looking back, obviously, you know, if he's rejecting the word of God, he probably wasn't even saved. So I'm gonna share this story with you, all right? Just to kind of elaborate on what we're talking about tonight. So, you know, one day after church, we're heading, and look, I don't eat McDonald's anymore, but I used to eat McDonald's back in the day. It was like a big thing. If you're in here, you eat McDonald's, I'm not against you. I just don't do it anymore, all right? You're just weak in the faith. No, I'm just kidding. But I remember, and he was in my car, and I said, hey, I'm going to drop you off because we're going to go eat right now. He said, well, can I come with you? And I said, I don't think you want to come with us because we're going to go eat McDonald's. And, you know, it's me. He's like, nah, it's cool, man. It's cool. I want to go. I'm like, I mean, we're going to be eating hamburgers there, and, like, there's going to be meat. Are you sure? I said, I'm not pressuring you to do this. I think you should stay home. I'll drop you off, and I'll even though it's out of the way, I'll drop you off, and we'll go handle business, you know. And he's like, yeah, don't worry about it. I'll go. I said, all right, fine, you know, suit yourself. So we go there, and remember, prior to this, I mean, he was very militant and going against us regarding meat. I mean, he condemned us like all the time. It irritated the guys a lot, and so. We get there, everyone's ordering double cheeseburgers, fries, just the most unhealthiest stuff you can eat. And we're getting it, and he's just sitting there. And then, you know, I order my food, or I'm like ordering my food, and I look behind me, or look to the side of me, and he's like grabbing these burgers. And I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, I can't take it anymore. I'm like, what? He had ordered this, I don't know, it was called like the Big and Tasty or something, some fat burger. I was like, are you really going to eat that? He's like, yeah, I can't handle this anymore. I was like, are you sure? I was like, hey, I didn't make you buy that. You know, I was like, if you're getting that, you're getting that on your own volition. Are you sure you're going to eat that? And the reason I think, obviously, and by the way, let me say this, he sinned when he did that. Yep. Okay, you say, well, I thought you said it wasn't wrong to eat meat. Yeah, but the Bible says he that knoweth to do, or excuse me, at the latter end of that chapter, it says, he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So it was wrong to him. You see what I'm saying? And if it's wrong to him, therefore he sinned. He violated his conscience is what we would say. And but let me say this. He grabbed that burger and he like just tore that thing apart. No vegan style there. And he was just so good. He's just like, he loved it. I was like, cool, man. Hey, you know, more power to you if that's what you want. You know what I mean? And the night didn't end well. You know, his conscience was violated. And afterwards, you would think he went to, like, the bar or something afterwards. But here's the thing. Deep down inside, he wanted to eat that meat. Yeah. All right? And you know why? Because we're meat eaters. Amen. You know, there's something within us that says, arts is good. Sirloin steak is good. You know, we want to eat meat. Now, here's the thing. If you only eat vegetables and you're a vegan, there's nothing wrong with that, if that's what you want. But don't teach us that it's what God wants.
Yeah.
Okay? And look, veganism and all that stuff, it doesn't come from the Bible. It comes from Buddhism. It comes from Hinduism. It comes from all that. And they repackage it, look for verses in the Bible to try to fit it into their doctrines to say, well, that's what God wanted. Okay? And that's wrong. And here's the thing. You can show people verse after verse after verse how the Bible says we can eat meat, and they're like, no, but Genesis this. The Garden of Eden this. Okay? Now, let's read on here. It says, for one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. So the Bible instructs us and tells us we shouldn't despise the vegans. I'll tell you what vegans I do despise, though. Those who teach for doctrines the commandments of men.
Yep.
That's different. But if that's something that you want to do, it's your preference, or we would say it's your standard, we can't despise someone for having that standard. Amen. We can't despise anybody for having any kind of standard. If someone has a higher standard than you in regards to life, their marriage, dating, finances, dress standards, whatever, we're talking about standards here. You can't despise someone for having that standard. Okay? That's a preference. We despise them when they teach it as if it's doctrine. If they say that you're sinning because you don't have my standard, then that's sinful right there. Okay? Then you're teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Nothing wrong with standards. I have standards for my wife, my daughter, my son, my family, my personal life, but I cannot say that you're not right with God if you don't have these standards as well. Okay? That's wrong. And I've heard many people allude to that. I've heard many people teach that. They just degrade people for not having their standards. That's wrong. Amen. Okay? But the Bible teaches us here that we ought not to despise someone who just eats herbs. Why? Because they're weak. Okay? And we that are strong, the Bible says, ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. And look what it goes on to say. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth, referring to the herbs, not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. So the Bible says, just as we're not to despise the vegans, guess what? The vegans should not judge us.
Amen.
For eating a double-double. Okay? It shouldn't be despised. Or excuse me, it shouldn't be judged. Now, you may not think that's the best healthy thing to eat. That's fine. But you can't say that we're not right with God because we eat meat.
Amen.
Okay? Go to, let me see here. Go to 1 Timothy chapter number 4. So it's not sinful to be a vegan. It's not sinful to be a vegetarian. You know, that's not sinful. It becomes sinful when you teach that it's biblical to be a vegan. Okay? Now, in the new heaven and the new earth, we're all going to be vegetarians. Okay? But guess what? We're not there right now. And that's a different system. That's a different time when we have different bodies. That makes sense? So we have different bodies. It's a different system. It's back to the Garden of Eden times. It's when we have a glorified body. Amen. Right? We can't survive off of just a vegan diet. Okay? By the way, it's expensive. And I don't care what anybody, I went through so many clips and I've seen so many videos of vegans trying to debunk the saying, yeah, you can't live off of it. But these people cheat. Yeah. I've even seen videos of people who were vegans at one time and they said, I'm quitting. I can't do this anymore. It's not healthy. And they even said on YouTube, they'll say this, whoever tells you that they're just purely vegan, they're lying because they're cheating. If they're, if you see them, they're all bulked up and they're all huge and they're like, I'm only eating a vegan diet. It's a lie. Yep. They have to cheat in order to do that. Okay? But look what the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter number 4. I've already quoted it, but we're going to elaborate on it more. It says in verse number 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. What are the seducing spirits saying? Speaking lies in hypocrisy. Having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And what are the doctrines? Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. So the Bible says those who believe and know the truth, they don't abstain from meats. Why? Because they know the Bible teaches it, that you can eat the meats. Now look, I've used this verse. I remember one time I ran into one of those United in Christ fools, okay, who believe in that crap. And he was, I don't know what he was. I don't know. Do you remember what tribe he was from, Marcos? Issachar. Okay. I don't know if that's, Mexicans are from Issachar. Okay. Is it? All right. Oaxaca too? So this guy, and he's over, we're trying to give him the gospel. And he's over here like, you guys eat swine. I can't believe you guys eat swine. You know, the Bible's against swine. And he told me, he's like, do you eat swine? I said, yes. I said, I love bacon. And I quoted, yeah, pork chops. I quoted 1 Timothy 4, okay? I quoted 1 Timothy 4, and I talked about how that's a, I said, you know that's a doctrine of devils, what you're saying? To abstain from meats? He goes, it says meats. Are you going to eat dog? Remember that when he said that? He goes, are you going to eat dog? I said, no, that's nasty, I told him. I said, but I know people who eat dog. Okay? My wife's cousin, Joy, and her husband at that time, which is Chris, not her husband at that time, they ate dog when they're in Cambodia. Okay? Suung, can you attest to that? The people eat dog in those countries?
Yes. Yeah.
In fact, it's thank you, Brother Jerry. Anybody else? No, I'm just kidding. They eat dog all the time. Okay? In fact, in China, my sister-in-law says that in China, in the meat market, they have dogs hanging skinned. Yes. It's like a delicacy for them. Yeah. Now, I don't want to eat it. I prefer a cow. Okay, that's just, you know. But I'm not against someone who does eat it. That's what the not unclean, according to the Bible. Yeah. If it's received with thanksgiving, so on and so forth. So the guy was like, so do you eat dog? And I said, no, I don't eat dog. We got enough cows to go around here. I don't need to eat dog. Okay? And then he brought out a Bible. He's like, is this your Jesus? And he had like, you know, the Catholic Jesus. And then he put like 666. And then like he showed it to me and I was like, no, that's not him. I was like, I don't know who that guy is. I was like, that guy's like from somewhere else. I don't know. Oh, that's not my Jesus. And he was just like, really? I'm like, yeah, we don't believe it. He's like, so that's like a long-haired faggot. My Savior's not some homo, you know? So the Bible says there, verse 4 says, for every creature of God is good, amen, including the dogs, and nothing to be refused. Here's the condition, if it be received with thanksgiving. Amen. By the way, go to those Asian countries and tell them not to eat dog. They're going to be like, what? That's what we got here. In fact, to honor you, they'll probably give you dog if you come to visit, you know? So it says that for every creature of God is good, nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. So the Bible says, the way I could be a good minister of Jesus Christ is by telling you this. Don't abstain from meats. That's a doctrine of devil if someone tells you to abstain from meats. And the Bible says that that's good doctrine. Whereas the doctrines of devils are those doctrines that teach you to abstain from the meats. Okay? Now, let me say this. Most vegans, the reason they're so militant about this is because they worship the creature more than the creator. Okay? These are people who value a dog's life more than a human life. And that's wicked. Okay? I've seen enough videos over the last 2 weeks that have pissed me off so much in regards to this militant veganism movement. How these people literally will go into restaurants. It's not food, it's murder. It's not food, it's murder. You know, this one lady goes into one of the shops there, and she's like, oh, can I get your attention, please? I'm not lying. These people are crazy. They're like, can I get your attention? And she starts talking about this girl, and there's a girl name. And you go, she was murdered. And you literally think that she's talking about a human being. He goes, her name was like Snow. I think his name was Snow. Right? Did you see that one? And he goes, so make sure you remember that when you order this or whatever, you know, she's on your plate. I was like, man, if I was there, I would be like, can I get an order of Snow? Let me get another order of Snow. And then they bring in their militant group and they're like, it's not food, it's murder. These are, and by the way, all those people, I guarantee you, they're all for abortion. They're all for killing babies. And yet they think it's okay, or it's not okay to kill an animal, but they think it's okay to kill a human being. It's wicked.
Amen.
And the Bible says it's a doctrine of devils. And I'm not going to re-preach. Obviously, Pastor Anderson already hit on that very, very thoroughly, why it's a doctrine of devils. Because when they say, you know, that's how it was back in Genesis, where you're trying to get back to that Garden of Eden atmosphere and elements without Christ. What is the doctrine of devil? When you're trying to do something that God promises you without the Lord. Salvation, right? When you're trying to work your way to heaven because you think you're a good person, you've done enough good works, all these things, but it's without Christ. That's a doctrine of devils. You say, well, we need to get back to the Garden of Eden, how they did it back then. We are going to get back to that point. But guess what? Christ is going to bring in that millennial reign. It's not by you trying to eat a vegan diet and all these things. And here's the funny thing about these guys, okay, is that they're so mad about how these animals suffer when we kill them to eat them, which there is no humane way to kill an animal. Amen. And any vegan who comes up to me and says, you know, you think it's right? I'll be like, yeah, it's right.
Amen.
Heck yeah. You kill that thing, it means nothing to me. No cow, no cat, no dog means anything to me. Amen. They're just animals.
Amen.
Okay? Especially if they're my food. But here's the thing. But they're so militant against people who believe like me. Well, why don't you go protest in the jungles of Africa then against the lion who kills the gazelle?
Yeah.
Why don't you go over there and say, it's not food, it's murder. Why don't you do that to the pack of lions? By the way, human beings probably are more humane in how they kill animals than the lion is. They're vicious. They don't even cook it. They'll eat it on the spot, blood all over the mane, no mercy. Okay? You don't believe it? Watch Nat Geo. Okay? When they're like chasing those things. And they'll chase the most sickly, weak animal. By the snap the neck, over and done with. You know, and then there's this guy. He's just like, yeah, but they're sentient beings. You know, they don't have a. Yeah, of course they're sentient beings. They're gonna feel pain, obviously. But that doesn't mean they're humans. Okay, that doesn't mean that they have a spirit. And we can do a whole entire study in the Bible how many animals died. I mean, throughout the animal sacrifices alone, thousands. I mean, in order to appease God sometimes. Kings would offer like thousands of sacrifices. And what does the Bible say? It was well-pleasing unto the Lord.
Amen.
It's like, thank you for killing those thousand animals. That was pleasing to me. You know, you think of the maniac of Gadara when the demons came out of him and went into the swine. They violently ran off the cliff into the water, into the ocean, and just died. Jesus! Okay? The one who, he's all love, yes, he's all love, and he's meek and he's humble, he just like allowed a whole group of pigs just to go and die. Okay? And it says violently. You know, falling off the cliff is not the best death to die. You're hitting rocks, you're drowning. It probably wasn't a very nice sound. All that squealing, I'm being honest, right?
True. Yeah, yeah.
But you know what? Does the Bible say all these poor animals?
Nope.
No. No. Not at all. Because God created them for that purpose.
Yeah.
Okay? To die. And for our pleasure as well. To eat. Okay?
Amen.
To clothe us. I mean, in Genesis chapter 3, if you want to go back to the Garden of Eden, the first person to kill an animal was not a human being.
It was God.
Amen.
Amen.
Skinned that thing and gave it to Adam and Eve for clothing. Okay. So this teaching of veganism is not bad for health reasons or if it's your preference. It becomes bad when you teach it as if it's a doctrine in the Bible. Okay. Go back to Romans chapter number 14. This is a preference. Verse 4 says, "Who art thou that judgest another man's servant?" Speaking to the one eating herbs again. "To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand." I'm going to read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter. Why don't you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. So the Bible says that they should not judge it. Okay. Now, this is not a contradiction when, obviously, because there's people who say, you know, you shouldn't judge anybody, right? Well, this is actually referring specifically to the matter of meats. Okay? Because in the beginning of the chapter, he's talking about those who are weak and, of course, in contrast, those who are strong. We would say those who are spiritual and those who are not spiritual. Well, you cannot judge someone if they're eating meat and say that they're not spiritual based upon the fact that they eat meat. Okay? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, and we'll start reading in verse number 3. "But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God." So what is it saying? We can't judge necessarily each other based upon how spiritual you are, based upon how much Bible reading you do. We don't know that. We're not there with you reading the Bible or when you're memorizing the scriptures or the thoughts that you think in the inner recesses of your heart. We don't know those things. So I can't say that Chad is less spiritual than me or more spiritual than me based upon the things that he does in secret with him and the Lord himself. Okay. Now, obviously, I can see if Chad is involved in fornication or he's in adultery, I can say that guy's not spiritual right now. He's in sin. But I can't say, well, you know, Chad, he eats a cheaper form of meat. You know, if you're going to eat meat, you're going to eat some good meat, or he eats McDonald's. You know, probably not the best thing to do, which Chad does not eat McDonald's at all. Okay? But let's say he does, for example. Let's say he does. We can't say he's unspiritual for that. Okay? That would be wrong to do. All right? You can't judge anything before it's time. We don't know who, in fact, in this church, we don't even know who's the most spiritual. I guarantee you it's probably not me. I don't know. Maybe it's the person who's the quietest. The person we would think least likely to be spiritual, they're probably the ones who are the most spiritual. Okay? So you can't look at someone and say, like, oh, that person's not spiritual. You don't know. Maybe they've read their Bible far more than you have.
Right.
Maybe they've spent time in prayer a lot longer than you.
Amen.
You know? Maybe they've won more people to Christ than you, or they spend more time winning people to Christ. They just don't talk about it. We don't know those things. We can't judge anything before it's time. Obviously, right? There will come a time where we stand before Christ, and we're going to look at it in a couple verses here, how the Bible tells us about that. Look at verse number 5. Go back to Romans chapter 14. In verse number 5, so it talks about this matter of judging, and it starts off with judging people who eat meat, but then it segues into judging people for holy days. Verse 5 says, "One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord he doth not yet doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. He that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks." So in the beginning of that, verse 5, in the beginning of verse 6, it talks about just esteeming a day. What is that? A holy day. Okay? A holy day is simply a day that we would esteem above other days. Okay, Christmas would fall into that category. Easter would fall into that category. Your birthday might fall into that category. Okay? These would be considered holy days to you because you esteem those days more special than the other ones. Okay? Now, I believe in celebrating Christmas. I've always believed that. I believe in celebrating Easter. I've always believed that. Even as an unsaved person, I believe that. I believe in celebrating birthdays. But we can't despise those who wouldn't celebrate those things. Okay? Now, I will say this, is that we shouldn't celebrate holidays that have a satanic agenda behind it. For instance, Halloween. That should not be a day that we as Christians esteem. Well, I thought you esteem one day above another. Yeah, but if it has a satanic agenda behind it, obviously we can't esteem that day. Now, here's the thing. On October 31st, if you want to celebrate Christ by doing something completely different than what typically is done on Halloween, that's up to you. We can't despise you for that. We can't say, well, everyone should stay home on October 31st. And you can't go out because it's Halloween. Well, no, because one man esteemeth the day better than the next. Okay, so you need to be fully persuaded in your own mind what you believe, what you want to do. Look, I think it's fine to have Christmas trees in the house. I love Christmas trees. I've always been raised to have Christmas trees. I never thought anything wrong with Christmas trees. And, you know, when I came to church, I remember my father-in-law had a Christmas tree in the church. And people would criticize him all the time for it. They're like, do you know Jeremiah? And he's like, what? That's the most stupidest thing I've ever heard. And I remember when I heard that, I was like, I read the verse in Jeremiah. I was just like, this isn't talking about a Christmas tree. Just because it says decked, right? That's how, you know, that's why they say that. They believe it's a Christmas tree because it says decked. We say, what does that have to do with any? Deck the halls with boughs. That's why. I kid you not. It's talking about an idol. It's not talking about a Christmas tree. Okay? Go to Colossians chapter number 2. So in Colossians 2, Paul the Apostle is telling the church of Colossae that don't let any man judge you in a holy day, right? And now obviously he's talking about the holy days that are observed in the Levitical law that God had commanded his people to observe. But this could be applied to any holy day. Okay? For instance, Martin Luther King Day. I don't celebrate Martin Luther King Day. You know, it's a day that people esteem to celebrate this wicked adulterer communist. Yep, yeah, right. I don't esteem that day. It's like whatever. It's like any other day to me. Amen. Look at Colossians 2:16. It says, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is Christ. Now, it says even of Sabbath. So it even goes as far to say if you want to celebrate the Sabbath and not do anything on a Saturday, more power to you if that's what you want to do. But don't teach that I'm supposed to do it. Amen. So it's not bad. Yeah, it's Seventh-day Adventist. Okay, it's not bad to take that Saturday off if that's what you want to do and not do anything. If that's your preference to do that, then that's fine. But don't teach others that they need to do that. Amen. Or that they're sinning if they don't. I'm for having a day off. Okay, it's good to have a day off. All right, but you can't teach that as if it's a doctrine. And I find it interesting that anytime I've run into Seventh-day Adventists or I've run into these fools from United in Christ, all these things, I'll show them Colossians chapter 2, and it's just like they just glaze over it. Yeah, but you know, I was like, wait, you haven't, wait, hold on, don't move on yet. It says right there. What do you make of that? And then the guy who I spoke to in East LA, who was from the tribe of Issachar, he said, you know, he's quoting Paul, and then all of a sudden I show him what Paul said in 1 Timothy 4, and I show him what he said in Colossians chapter 2. He's like, yeah, well, Paul was wrong. So he's right when you want him to be right, but he's wrong when you don't agree with what he says. You know, go back to Romans chapter 14. They're fools.
Amen.
United in Christ are fools.
Amen.
Okay, bunch of racist fools. You know, and they're violent.
Yeah.
They cuss, they're violent. They're, by the way, if you look at their track record, a lot of these guys beat their wives, they rape them, they do all kinds of wicked things. They'll call out ladies in the street and say, you're going to be my sex slave. Bunch of wicked people. And let me say this, most of these religions that are far-fetched like this, they're always tied into some sort of sexual perversion.
Yeah, right.
Always. Okay? It's always tied into something like that.
Yep.
Mormonism, all that stuff. They're always tied into some sort of sexual perversion, just like the United in Christ. Yep. Verse 7 of Romans chapter 14, it says, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. So it's teaching us there that we don't just live unto ourselves. We obviously ought to take into account that, you know, we're an example to people, okay? Now, here's the thing is the Bible also teaches us that if someone doesn't believe you should eat meat, you know, and you know, you ought not to put a stumbling block before them to eat meat. Okay? Why? Because you ought to walk charitably. That's why it says you don't live unto yourself. So you got to take other people into consideration. You know, you got to be considerate of others and of their beliefs. Okay? And if you have a standard that's different than someone else's, you know, I'm not saying you have to conform to their standard for their sake, but respect the fact that they have a certain standard that you may not have, and just leave it at that. You know, don't badmouth them. Don't think it's bad. No, if that's what they want to do, you let them do it. Okay? Look at verse number 9. It says, "For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother?" Still speaking to the one who eats herbs. "For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." Now go with me if you would to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. You'll find that phrase also in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. So it's telling the brother who eats herbs, don't judge your brother. And then he follows it up with, because aren't we all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ? So in other words, Christ is going to be the one judging us. Okay, he's the one who's going to make manifest these things. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 10. It says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he had done, whether it be good or bad." It's not referring to that which is sinful or that which is not. That it's referring to that which is good and bad, referring to the quality. Okay. Verse 11, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord." So verse 11 comes right after appearing before the judgment seat of Christ. It says, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences." Now, I don't think the terror of the Lord is referring to hell in this verse right here. I think it's referring to the fact that you're going to give an account. Why? Because it's terrible. It's terrifying. Okay? You're going to be judged by Christ, not for your sins, but for the work that you've done. So knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, you know, because the Lord, obviously, when he first came, he was meek and lowly. But when he comes back, he's ruling with the rod of iron. Right. Strict. Okay? No messing around. All right? Well, knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. What is persuading men? I believe that's talking about soul winning. Knowing, therefore, that we're going to stand before God, we're going to give an account, we want to make sure that we are persuading men, preaching the gospel, trying to get people saved, because we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. So the person who wants to turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, or maybe they're saved, but they're just kind of living a worldly life, and they're just not living for God, they're not soul winning, that's fine, if that's what they want to do. But guess what? They're going to experience the terror of the Lord one day. Okay, they're going to be the ones where their works are going to be wood, hay, and stubble, not gold, silver, and precious stones, which we're going to look at that verse in just a little bit. So the Bible says we will be judged for these things, not for our sins, but for the works we've committed. And the Bible says, you know, that Christ comes quickly and his reward is with him. Now, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to see what this judgment looks like. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. And by the way, 1 Corinthians 3, 1 Corinthians 8 and 10, they all kind of have subjects dealing with what's going on in Romans chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 12 says, "Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." What sort is referring to the wood, hay, or stubble, gold, silver, precious stones? "If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, yet but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." So that's what, obviously we don't know exactly what it's going to look like when God provides these rewards for us. We know it comes after the rapture. That's where the judgment seat of Christ is, because his reward is with him. That's when he comes. But the Bible tells us there that it's going to be tried by fire. So everything we've done for the Lord is going to be tried by fire. You say, well, what if we preach the gospel, but we don't see a whole lot of people saved? I believe you'll still be rewarded. Okay? Because obviously, he can't base the rewards based off of someone else's decision to reject Christ. If we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. You know, the command is not for us to save people, obviously. The command is to preach the gospel, which saves people. And when they get saved, we can take credit for saving them, obviously. But obviously not everyone's going to get saved who we preach the gospel to. But that doesn't mean your labor is in vain. You will be rewarded according to that. You say, what are the wood, hay, and stubble? I believe that's talking about Christians who have a whole lot of activity going on in their church, but they're not really doing anything.
Right.
You know, bus ministry.
Yeah. Yeah, come on now.
Okay. And look, I'm sure there's sincere people in the bus ministry or bus workers who are actually winning their bus kids to Christ, and they're seeing them saved, but that's very far, few, and in between. Okay? That's very scarce. That's very rare to see that. Okay? And the years that I've seen the bus ministry, this Saturday for the Soul Winning Mega Marathon, I led a bus kid to the Lord.
Amen.
I led a bus kid to the Lord who's been in church for years, in a church that's in this area,
yes,
i.e. Monterey Park. I said, do you go to church anywhere? She said, yes. And she told me for how long. I said, are you 100% sure that if you die today, you go to heaven? She said, yeah. I said, why? And she said, I've trusted Christ as my Savior. I said, good. Do you believe you can lose your salvation? She says, oh, yeah, of course. Wasn't even saved. Then I led a bus kid's mom to the Lord during the Soul Winning Mega Marathon. You know? And, you know, this person's bus kids have been coming to church for a long time. And they didn't click to them. Maybe they should witness to the mom, too. You know, what about the mom? What about the parents? Wasn't even saved. Well, after I led those people to the Lord, I said, now make sure you tell your bus captain, your bus worker, that Bruce Mejia said hi. You tell them now. They're like, oh, yeah, definitely. I'm like, yeah, because I know the people there. I said, make sure you tell them I said hi. And by the way, if they get mad because I led them to the Lord, then they're wicked.
Amen. Right. Amen. Right.
Right.
You know, look, if I think I led someone to the Lord and then someone comes later on and say, hey, that person wasn't saved, but they got saved, I led them to the Lord. You know, I would feel a little bad, obviously. It's like, oh, man, I thought I led a person to the Lord. But you know what? Thank God that they got saved.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's not about pride. It's not about, you know, how many people we could. No, the most important thing is that they got saved. But a lot of these churches, they're filled with a lot of activity. I think that's the wood, hay, and stubble. It just seems like they're doing a lot, but they're not necessarily doing a whole lot. Okay? Go back to Romans chapter 14. I was talking to Pastor McMurtry this week, and we were discussing what our discussion is going to be for the soul winning conference. And it's going to be things that get in the way of soul winning. And we basically had a conference, him and I, over the phone. And he said, at the end of the, we talked for like a long time, and at the end he said, we basically need to do exactly what we just did right now at the conference, because we were just listing off things that really just get in the way of soul winning. Okay? Soul winning is the greatest work, and let me say this, it's the work that will provide and produce the gold, silver, precious stones.
Amen.
Not the wood, hay, and stubble.
Right.
Okay? So, Brother Chad Morgan's wife told my wife, you know, I like our churches because they're just minimalist churches. You guys ever heard of the minimalist mindset? I know you've heard of it. You guys ever heard of the minimalist? You heard of that? No one? Raise your hand if you've heard of it. Okay. Minimalist is basically you just like minimize your life. I mean, like you just get rid of everything. You only own, I think it's like 20 things or something like that. And she said, I love the church, the fact that our churches are minimal. You know, it's just a couple things. Soul winning, hard preaching, and that's it. it's like we just leave it at that, you know? Because we want to make sure that we have quality. Well, how do you have quality? Well, you just make sure you're good at just a few things.
Amen.
You know, and you can produce a lot. But when you spread yourself too thin, you start getting involved in activity that's just not going to produce anything. Okay? Romans chapter 14, verse 11 says, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather. So, people will look at this verse and say, see, you're not supposed to judge. But it says, but judge this rather. So we got to understand what we have to judge. We judge what the Bible tells us to judge. We judge not in the areas that God tells us not to. Okay? That no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 8. So it's telling us we ought not to put a stumbling block. You know, and maybe, I don't know, to this day I kind of fight with if I made that guy stumble or not. I feel like I warned that guy enough. And I told him, hey, we're going to McDonald's. I'll drop you off. You know, do what you want. I don't want you to go because I don't want you to stumble. But he went anyway. So, I don't know, maybe it was his fault. But we need to make sure that we don't put a stumbling block before the brother, even if they just eat herbs or whatever it may be. Why? Because the Bible tells us to in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, in verse number 1, we'll read these verses here. It says, now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. So why is it saying that? It says we have knowledge. What's the knowledge? Well, we're going to look in just a little bit. We know that these stupid idols are just nothing.
Amen.
We have the knowledge from God that these things are dumb, they're deaf, they can't do anything. But then it says this, knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. So because we know that the idol is nothing, we can eat the steak that was offered unto the idol because we know this is nothing. This guy's not going to use it. Amen. I'll just eat it myself. But then it says charity edifieth though. So what does charity do? It vaunteth not itself. Amen. So in other words, it thinks of others. It esteems others better than themselves, right? Verse 2 says, and if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. As concerning therefore the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge. For some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. So what is it saying? Well, the liberty that we have is the fact that we have the knowledge that this isn't bad for us. You see, knowledge produces liberty. When you read the Bible, you understand, hey, I have the liberty to eat meats. Okay? But it's talking about people who maybe were saved out of that. Okay? The idolatry. Now, in our country, there's some of this going on. But in other countries, for instance, in Cambodia, in Laos, okay, and these Southeast Asian countries, they still offer things to idols. Well, some people get saved out of that. You know, that becomes a stumbling block to them, all right, if you eat it before them. Now, it says there in verse number 10, for if any man see thee which has knowledge sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? So what is it saying? If you sit down with a guy who just got saved, and maybe they got saved out of, you know, offering meat to idols, and you obviously know this isn't wrong, this isn't sinful, but the guy who's watching you may think it's sinful. And it may violate his conscience. So it's telling us that we ought to be charitable and say, we're not going to eat this because it was offered to idols. You know. Now, it won't be wrong for you, but you're not doing this for you. Remember, no man liveth unto himself. Yeah. You're doing it for his sake, for his conscience, because he's a babe in Christ. Okay? So what do? You drop him off, you come back, and you get that meat and eat it. All right? You say, get out of the way, idol. And then you just get the steak, and bam, you hit that thing up. But before the person who believes that that's wrong, right, you know, we ought to be charitable towards them. Yeah. It says in verse 11, and through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, look what it says. Ye sin against Christ. Yeah. Man. Wherefore, if me make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. That's a lot of love right there. He's like, man, for his sake, I'm not going to do it because I don't want him to be offended by it. Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. So not only does it talk about not causing the brother, because it talks about the brother. This is someone who's saved to stumble. But it also talks about 1 Corinthians chapter 10, talks about the unsaved. Okay? Look at verse 19. What shall I say then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? Very similar to what we just read. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? And look what he says, verse 23. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. So remember what we read in the previous chapter in Corinthians. It says that charity edifieth. So it's saying here, look, we can still eat it because it's lawful unto us. We have the liberty to do it. But does that mean it'll edify the brother? You know, just because it's lawful, just because it's expedient, just doesn't mean it's edifying. So it takes a mature Christian to not only understand, yeah, the Bible doesn't condemn what I'm doing here to eat this, but it takes an even more mature Christian to say, but will it offend my brother or will it edify him? Okay, that's maturity. Maturity is when you start thinking of others, you're not always thinking about yourself. Okay, and it says here, verse 24, let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience sake. Shambles is another word for meat market. It's not necessarily a word that we would use today, but it simply means like a meat market. It's where you go to, again, these Southeast Asian countries or even Hispanic countries. I mean, when I went to Guatemala like 11 years ago, they had shambles. They'd have the meat. I mean, the chickens are just hanging. There's flies all over them. You know, they got the fish there and they put salt on the fish to preserve it. It stinks to high heaven, but that's how they buy their meat. Okay. But it's saying there, whatsoever sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience sake. So when you go to these places and you see the meat there, it's potentially, this is meat that could have been offered to idols. But guess what? I ain't asking nothing. I'm just going to buy it. Okay? For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Amen? Yep. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience sake. So don't ask me, hey, I see you got a Buddha there. Just quick question before we pray and eat. Was this offered to that? You know, don't ask any questions. Just eat it. Yeah. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake, not for yours, for his, that showed it, and for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? Okay? So he's saying, don't do it for their sake. For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? Whether therefore you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. So he's saying you shouldn't do it for his sake because he's obviously understanding that you're a Christian, right? And if he's offering you food that he told you was offered in idols, he's going to think, oh, this guy doesn't even care. Right. You know, to him, it's all, you know, it's all religious, all the same, man. You know, he's saying don't do it. In other words, don't let your good be evil spoken of. Don't let your good be evil spoken of, okay? Now, the best thing to do is just say, just eat that thing real quick or something. And if he tells you afterwards, be like, oh, man, I wish you had told me that in the beginning. Not really, right? You know, just don't ask any questions. So it the Bible tells us that we ought to do that which is edifying. How are you charitable? You're charitable towards your brother if they just got saved out of that. You don't eat it before them, but also towards the unsaved for their sake. So we're not a bad testimony to them, okay? And again, we have the liberty to eat it, but God is saying if you want to be charitable, if you want to edify, you shouldn't do it for these people's sakes. Okay? Go back to Romans chapter 14, and verse 14 says, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that is esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died, let not then your good be evil spoken of. So it says there, it makes a distinction. It says, some people say that the food that you're eating is unclean. Well, where are they getting that concept from? They're getting it from the Levitical law. Yes. The book of Leviticus is broken up, obviously there's 27 chapters, but it's broken up into three different aspects, talking about the rituals, talks about the priesthood, and then it talks about the purity laws. Okay, the rituals focus mainly about the sacrifices, how to do it, etc. Then you have the priesthood where God is deputizing them and showing them what specifically they have to do. But it also deals with purity laws. Okay, this deals with the laws as far as putting people to death for kidnapping or whatever it may be, or putting an adulterer to death, or if they fornicate, if they are unclean. They give them basically just physical instructions how to stay clean. But it also deals with certain animals you're not supposed to eat. Yep. Okay? And of course, Leviticus 16 talks about the scapegoat and so on and so forth. But it deals a lot with animals that are clean, animals that are unclean. And they'll say if they don't part the hoof, then they're unclean. All right? Now, in the New Testament, in Acts chapter 10, we see God himself telling Peter, don't call that which is common unclean. And he makes Peter eat of the unclean animals of the Old Testament. Yep. Okay? So if God is the one telling him to do that, it's showing you that this was a shadow of things to come. Because why was God telling him to do that? Was he saying, "Now, dude, start eating shrimp. Start eating swine. It's okay." Well, that was part of it. But more so than that, he was teaching him that don't just go to the Jews. Go to what you would consider to be common or unclean, which is the Gentiles. Does that make sense? So it's telling us, it's showing us that these purity laws in reference to the animals that are clean or unclean, these were a shadow of things to come. Amen. And in Hebrews chapter 9, that's why it tells us That which is done of meats, drinks, and diverse washings and carnal ordinances, they're done away with.
Amen.
Okay? Because they're already fulfilled in Christ. And God is telling us, look, don't call that which is common unclean. Don't say that the Gentile is unclean. You can go witness to him. They can be saved. But also on a practical level, don't call the swine unclean. You can eat it. You're not sinning if you do it. Okay? So we're not going to go into Acts chapter 10. You know the story. Look at verse 17 in Romans chapter 14. It says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after these things which make for peace and the things wherewith one may edify one another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth. Just reiterating that point again. Or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is that he that that condemneth not himself in that thing which is he alloweth. It's awesome. He's like, the guy who knows these things, keeps it to himself, he's happy. You know, he can eat the double-double just with a pure conscience. He's like, this is okay. God's pleased with this. I can eat this. You know, the sirloin steak. Okay, the hot dog, beef from Costco or whatever. Get that guy out of here. Just kidding. You know, this stuff, it's okay. In the Bible even says, happy is the man. You know, because you know the truth. You're like, yeah, this is cool. This God's cool. God's good with this. But then look what it says. Verse 23, and he that doubteth is damned. If he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now, it's not saying damned as if like he's going to lose his salvation or he can't get saved. Okay? It's just talking about, you know, he sinned is what he's done. Because he's eating out of faith. That guy who ate that big and tasty, you know, he sinned. You know? Because he was like, he believed that was sinful. Therefore, when he ate it, it was sin. You know what he should have just done? Is just memorize 1 Timothy chapter 4. Read Acts chapter 10 times. Amen. And just come to the conclusion, God is okay with this.
Yes.
He should have read where Jesus ate meat in Genesis chapter 19. Beef.
Yep.
He ate beef. You know, lamb shanks. Okay? He ate fish in the Gospels. You know, the Bible even says in the millennial reign in Zechariah chapter 14 that there's going to be meat being seed, the Bible says. Pots in Jerusalem that will be seen. Okay? It's all over. If he would have just read that, he could have just not sinned. You know? Therefore, that person's not happy, according to the Bible. Because they've understood, man, I violated my conscience. I've sinned against God. So what is the gist of Romans chapter 14? Obviously, it's talking about meats. It's talking about herbs, those who are weak, those who are strong. But more so, it's really just dealing with how do you deal with one another. Because obviously both sides have an imbalanced way of dealing with one another. Those who eat meats often condemn those who don't. Okay, and then despise them. Well, that's wrong. But then on the flip side, the militant vegan wants to judge the person who's eating meat. Well, that's also wrong.
Amen.
In fact, it's even more wrong because the Bible says it's a doctrine of devils.
Right.
You see, the one who's eating meat and looks down, despises the person who eats vegetables or only a plant-based diet, they're just not walking charitably. The person who's a vegan, who's condemning and judging the person who's eating meats, the Bible says they're partaking of doctrines of devils.
Amen.
Okay, it's even worse. Let's go ahead and bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for the meats that you allow us to eat freely. We can enjoy them. And, you know, if this life, in this life we only eat just to sustain ourselves, obviously you gave us taste buds to taste, to enjoy that which you've given to us. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. From the Father of lights. And thank you for that. We're thankful for the knowledge found within your word where you tell us where we can freely eat these things. I pray that on that note, of course, that you'd help us to walk charitably towards our brethren and that we cause none to stumble. Help us not to just live unto ourselves, but recognize that we're being an example to others and that others are watching us. And help us to grow in that area, Lord. Thank you so much for the liberty you've given to us, but help us not to use liberty as an occasion to the flesh. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.